It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 33. We're going to begin reading with verse 12. Genesis chapter 33, verse 12. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and begin with the reading of God's precious Word, Genesis chapter 33, verse 12. And he said, "Let us take our journey, let us go, and I will go before thee." And he said unto him, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds are young that are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead so softly according to the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord in Seir." And Esau said, "Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me." And he said, "What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built him a house, and made booths for his cattle, and therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem. Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. He bought a partial of a field, where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor. And Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her, and lay with her, and defiled her. His soul clave unto Dinah, and the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this damsel to wife." And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in laying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before us, and dwell, and trade ye therein, and give you possessions therein." And Shechem said unto her father, and to her brethren, "Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me never so much dowry or gift. I will give according as ye shall say unto me." but give me the damsel to wife. The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, Because ye had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, We cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughter unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughters, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the younger man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delighted in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city, and communed with the men of their city, saying, These men are peaceable with us, therefore let them dwell in the land, and trade therein, for the land, behold, is a large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only wherein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised? And shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. We're going to stop there with the 23rd verse and begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Help us today to learn your way and will. We thank you for the word that you've made available to us. Please, Lord, that you will show us exactly what we're to learn. Help us, Lord, to be of your will, do your will, learn of your wisdom, and be obedient to it. Please, Father, help us to follow after your way and will, not after our own. We find Jacob and Jacob's children somewhat back and forth. One minute we seem like that they've really grown, and the next minute they seem like they have reverted right back to their old ways of conniving and deceiving and trying to figure it out on their own. And so, please, Lord, touch every heart today. Those that are lost do not know you. Bring them to salvation today by your Spirit as it touches their heart, as we've read the Word and are in the Word. And then, Father, help us to continue to grow. We all begin as babies, and we need to grow, and that growth is slow. We need to walk, learn from the crawling, learn from the milk to the meat. We need to learn to begin to crawl and then begin to walk, and we need to do that so slowly, and it is a long-term investment in our lives that we have in you, Lord Jesus. You have invested in us, I guess, so please, Lord, guide and lead us now and protect us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we find here this man Jacob, we know that he has had quite a combination of events that have taken place. You know, he was fearful of Esau as he found Esau coming with 400 soldiers, and we find that he had made some plans. He had sent some gifts ahead. He had even, kind of lined the whole family out, and then went before them. We find that when Esau did meet with Jacob, that he was so pleased. He lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children and wanted to know who they were. Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck, kissed him, and they wept in verse 4. Not the kind of greeting that Jacob was afraid of, that he thought. But see, God told him to go home. He knew the condition of Esau's heart. You know, it was the same kind of thing when he left Laban. He left fearfully. He left afraid of what was going to happen. And so we need to search the Lord. We need to walk after Him and set our minds and our hearts upon Him, not upon ourselves. And it's so easy for us to do that, look at the situation and judge that situation and decide that, okay, here's what we're going to do without ever seeking the Lord's will. And so we need to always seek the Lord's will, and we'll probably find in our lifetime, and I'm pretty positive of this, and I'm sure it's accurate, and that is that from day to day, one day we are very good about searching the Lord's will, and the next day we kind of find ourselves sidetracking the Lord's will, or not so much sidetracking it as just going our own way, which is exactly the same thing. Esau, we found the same thing here. We're no different than that at all. And we need to come before our Lord and ask Him to forgive us and set our hearts and our lives straight and right, and then begin once again to walk with Him. Well, we find Esau here, Jacob here. He has met with Esau, and he found him to be friendly, and he found him to be excited that Jacob is gone. Jacob's been gone 20 years, and in this 20 years now, it's just a wonderful time that he is home. He's returned home. And he had sent these gifts, and finally, you know, Esau said, I don't need it. You know, I have plenty. And Jacob says, no, I want to give this to you for your kindness shown to us. And so they've kind of made up here. And now we find in verse 12 that they're beginning to travel on home. And so as they begin this last little voyage that they're taking here, this last little trip, why, Esau, you know, says, here, I'll take you. And Jacob says, no, my children are young. The livestock is young. I need to bring them very slowly. We've had quite a trip already, and everyone is tired, and we need just to take our time. And so he inquired. He says, let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly according to the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord and see her. Now, we'll find this place here is down in the land of Edom. We have talked about in this the last time we were together, that God has promised Abraham a land, and he promised that he would multiply him, and the number would be so excessive as the sand of the sea and of the stars of the sky. And so the promise was before Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob, because that's the line that this promise is being carried through. We find that Esau is not a part of that promise, but Esau too was given land to Esau, and we find as we study that Edom is that land where we find this man named Esau and his immediate family. But different than the nation of Israel, God says, you go there, here's this land, and that's fine, but it is not a promise that they will forever possess that land as the promise that we have with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And also with the promise here that we have with Jacob is that his name is changed from Jacob to Israel. And so God not only gives the nation of Israel land, but he also names the people, and they are Israelites. And that name is given because the father of them, the father of these sons that become the tribes, his name is Jacob changed to Israel. So it is named Israel. So we find as we finish out the chapter 33 that they agree that, okay, you go ahead and then I will meet you down in this land of Edom. Well, as Esau then travels on and Jacob does the same, why, he comes to a land, Jacob journeys to Succoth. We'll find that in verse 17. And there he seems to dwell for a period of time, because if you'll notice that he builds a house. He builds what we would call barns. He calls a booths here for his livestock. And so he makes quite a quite a place here as it all comes to together. And if you would look on a map, you'll find that to be on the side, the east side of the Jordan River. And so as we look at the map and they come from the north, you know, we have, and we have looked at in the 18th verse, it says Padan Aram, which is Haran. And you'll find that way north of the land, what we know as the land of Canaan, and then on to the east too, because remember the most common path to travel was to go all the way north and then cross to the east and then come back south again into like Ur of Chaldees and Babylon and areas like that. And it was due to the terrain that was between them. That was one of the few ways that they could travel and still have food and water. And so as Jacob went over to get his bride, we find him going that direction. And then as he leaves Padan Aram or Haran, he comes back from the north somewhat to the west and then heads south. And as he heads south, why, he's still on the east side of the Jordan River. He's somewhat between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, and about halfway between. Over to the east, you'll find this this place of Sukkoth. And so that is where Jacob stops. And in this place now, why, we find that he stops long enough to build a house and to build barns and things like that. And Jacob came to Shalem, the city of Shechem. Now, as you look at the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, and that's in the 18th verse. If you would cross now straight across from Sukkoth to the west, you cross the Jordan River, and Sukkoth is about the distance away from the Jordan River. Sukkoth is as Shechem is the opposite way. And so as he travels west, he comes to the Jordan River, he crosses the Jordan River, and he goes comes over to this place called Shechem. And Shechem, which it says in the 18th verse, is in the land of Canaan. And when he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city, he bought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, and Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar. And so we find him getting back to the promised land. Now you would think that that he would go on down to a place called Bethel, which isn't very far south, but it is just a little bit. And this Shechem is just north of what they call Shiloh. And so as we come to this place and this location, now we find Jacob doing something similar to what his grandfather Abraham used to do. He would come to a place and he would stop there and he would build an altar there. We find him doing that at Bethel. We find now Jacob here, or Israel, doing that in this location here of Shechem. Now, as we look at Shechem, we find that he, in building that altar, names it something. And we're finding Jacob, Israel, has been following after his own way. He knew it was time to go home. He sought the Lord's will. He had quite an experience with wrestling with the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Christ. We've had that. And then he continued, though, to kind of think of his own way. Okay, now how am I going to avoid this conflict that I know is going to come with Esau? And so he had all kinds of plans, didn't need any of them. He didn't really need a plan in getting away from Laban, because it was much the same way. He would have been safe and sound to go his own way and be fine. But instead of that, why, he kind of continued to do what was the things of the world. Now, we know he's growing. We have learned much of the about Jacob in the last couple of chapters, in the chapter 32, verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth. Now see, we have seen him learn. Jacob is learning. This man named Israel now is beginning to take his proper place and begin to learn. But at the same time, in our growing, and Jacob really is he's old, but he's very young in the faith, and he's just beginning to learn how to depend upon the Lord and to walk. And so often, as believers, we make mistakes because we try to act like a mature Christian. We need to back up, and we need to be quiet, and we need to listen very carefully unto the Lord as he begins to teach us and train us. And please, as the pastor speaks, as the teachers teach, listen as they proclaim the Word of God, follow in the Word of God to see that they're proclaiming a truth, and know that that is the only way that you're going to gain wisdom is through God and by the learning of His Word. And so please that you do that. First come by faith to Jesus Christ, and next begin to walk after the Lord Jesus each time. Esau is down in Edom in his own land, and we find Jacob here, or Israel, has found his way finally back into the land of Canaan, and he has built an altar. Well, let's take a look at this, and it's L-L-O-H-E, Israel. And as we look at that word, we find God, the God of Israel. Now, this is the first time that Jacob makes mention of his own name. God, the God of Israel. And that's what he named this place where he's built this altar. And so he's making the connection that there is only one God, one true God, and he is my God. And he uses the name that has been given him, Israel. And so we find that he has traveled now down south, and he come to Succoth, and then to Shechem. And here we find him building this altar and naming it God, the God of Israel. And so growing. Jacob, Israel, is growing. But we find in verse 34, chapter 34, as we begin this chapter now, that there are some difficult times. Jacob's been through some difficult times. And here, as he is coming into the land of Canaan, and if you'll remember, one of the requirements that God had made with the children of Israel when they had grown to such a mighty and great number, left Egypt and come up to take the land of Canaan, that was one of their commands, was to destroy everyone in the land because they were idol worshippers. They had no desire for God. Well, we find a mixture right here early on, and it's not good. Let's take a look now to see what we're to learn of this. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, okay, remember Leah and Rachel, and then we have the two handmaidens, and those four women are of the have given birth to the sons of Israel, lacking one, and this daughter. Now, we don't know whether there are other daughters or not. This is the only one that's mentioned. Some believe that there are several daughters. This is the only one that's mentioned. Others believe this is the only daughter. And so, as we look at this, and I tend to agree that probably at this time it's the only daughter, not necessarily so. We can't prove it one way or the other. But let's look to see what Dinah wants to do. And she went out to see the daughters of the land. She went out to see the daughters of the land. Now, we are to be separated. We're to be separate from the world. Now, to this point, you see, the only exposure that Dinah had was of her homeland, which was back in Laban's land, where he was from. We think that Dinah here is probably 15, 16 years old. Now, we don't know whether there was some kind of a social activity in the city. He did come. We are to separate ourselves from the world. Jacob here, Israel, I believe that he has placed himself maybe too close to town. It's kind of like back in the days of Lot and when Abraham's nephew. And when Abraham gave him a choice, you look east, I'll go west. If you look north, I'll go south. I'll go the opposite direction that you go. You choose. And he used his eyes to see what he thought was right. And we need to be so careful that we don't look up on something, but it's a heart condition. We come by faith to Jesus Christ. Faith is something that we cannot see. Now, as we walk by faith, God does show us by sight, by mind, by our heart, that he is real and true and right. But we must walk first by faith to ever get to see that. Now, here we have Dinah, and she went out to see. And if you would see my Bible, you would know that when I say I circle certain things so that it kind of catches my eye, I have circled the word see. Because that's the problem. Dinah was so close to town. If she didn't have any other sisters that she could visit with, Leah, did she say, "Well, sure, go and play with these other girls. Go and see these other girls." And so we find her going to get to know and going to be a part of the daughters of the land. Did she want to know how they dressed? Did she want to know activities that age of a girl would do? And so, anyway, she was allowed to go, it seems as though, and either that or she snuck out, one or the other. Either way, she's going to be in trouble here, we see very quickly. She went out to see. That was the problem. She should have been content to be where she was. Instead of that, she went out to see. She was so involved with the desire, and it's a natural thing, very natural. And so we need to see that when we do something or say something, that we do it in the Lord's will and not at our own doing. And so we are guilty of this. We do the same thing. And so here, as we look at this, we find that she's going to see the daughters. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, now you'll find that there's Hivites and Hittites and all kinds of ites up through this land. Well, we find here that this Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her. Okay? If she'd have stayed home, 15, 16 years old, if she would have stayed home, this wouldn't have happened. But instead of that, she was out amongst because she wanted to go see for herself. And so this Hivite, this Shechem, prince of the country, saw her, took her, and lay with her, and defiled her. And so we could put this into our own terms today. This man raped her. That's what has happened here. The only daughter that we have listed of Jacob with Leah, and it's the first, if you'll remember right, was the of the two wives, Leah and Rachel, that Laban had given to Jacob, to Israel, gave birth at the end, at the last there, of this Dinah. Dinah goes to see. You know, sometimes the youngest gets to do a lot of things, and they become kind of high-minded and self-righteous, and they think they can do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say, and everything will be fine. Well, she got herself into a position and a place that she should never have been. She should never have been allowed to go there. And also, she should never, never have been, allowed to be into this situation. She's there, and what happens? And now, for the rest of this chapter here, we work through this situation, and it just gets nothing but worse. And so it started with that little word, see. And so that's where it originated, and it begins there. And so as we find now that he has defiled her, he's laid with her, the literal, he has raped her. That's what's happened there. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughters of Jacob, and he loved the damsel. Well, this is kind of after the fact. My dear friend, that's a mess. I'm going to ask you a question. What are you going to do about Jesus?